Blog Talk Radio.
That was supposed to play.
Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here's the sign for you. With your host, Venture State Planner, and the Beast. Satanas. Benjer, how are you today?
I'm awesome. How are you?
I'm doing great.
That's good. And today, this show is our 1 year anniversary, so fucking congratulations for that, man.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe we put up with each other's shit for this long.
Well, it actually wasn't that difficult.
No, actually it wasn't.
Yeah, most people, I think we both are like, a couple weeks, I've had enough of you, like, fuck you. But with us, it was just kind of shit fell into place, as if the stars had been right all along. And it really wasn't a big deal. It's kind of a big deal, but it's not like a chore ever. It's not like, oh man, now I've got to deal with this guy again. So it's always was an experience, and good times, and I think we both get a lot out of it, magically and intellectually and psychologically, all that good stuff.
Absolutely. I have to say that this has probably been one of the most positive internet experiences I've ever had, and that not just in terms of my own personal benefit from it, but I really think that the show it's accomplished quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Definitely. And a lot of our listeners pull us back, so that kind of, easily confirms it for us. When people will tell you, like, again and again, what the show means to them and how much they enjoy it, and when people keep calling in and keep listening again and again, that just goes to show that it is having an effect, and people do love it and get something out of it and want it to continue. So we're going to keep doing it.
All right. Well, I'm personally beginning to regard the ooze as being the left-hand path's nutsack, man.
The left-hand path?
What? The left-hand path's nutsack. Now, what I mean is it seems like there's a lot of pretentious talk, but not a lot of follow-through or action within the left-hand path. Not a lot of people are willing to call in and put their voice on the air or whatever. And, we're kind of the place that puts that to the challenge, man. I mean, every week we invite these folks to call in, share, their insight on things. And more times than not, we're not real successful. But, then again, we have had we've had quite a roster of names come on the show, so.
Right. Well, I think more recently, if you ask people to call in, they will call in. But the first 6 months that we started the show, it was like pulling teeth, trying to get people to call in and listen regularly. But hey, that's what happens. You build an audience for the first 6 months, and then if you do consistent work, people will start tuning in, calling in, doing what you want. Great.
Right? Well, I've got a couple little treats that I'm going to play here, and then after that I'd like to open up the phone lines for everybody to definitely get some nuts and call in. I'm going to give you the number, and you got about 10 minutes to prepare yourself. The number's 347-989-1371, and I'll announce it again before we start to open up the phone lines. But over this past week, me and Venture have been reflecting on the past year, and there were a couple of more recent episodes of The Ooze that had, a real resonance with us, so we thought that we'd, share the clip with you guys. So to start, I'm going to, this is from the, I think the show was called The Diabolical Infestation. Is that the right one I got this clip from, Venja?
Yep, I believe it is.
All right, so this is Venja and Dark Fool in a very interesting 5-minute segment.
There is something I wanted to mention earlier. You mentioned how there's a, like, within Satanism, your friend mentioned that there was, Bicino's friend mentioned that there was, like, actually a, like, very few, like, let's say, like, 30 Satanists, there would only be, like, 10, you know, that were actually considered real Satanists. I've kind of noticed that, too, because, you know, if you look at, like, Satanism has always been tied in with, like, subgenres like metal and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne, that sort of thing. So you got a lot of followers that are just, like, wearing T-shirts with pentagrams on it, and they could say, oh, yeah, hail Satan and all that stuff, but then are just, like, kind of just going with the flow of that. Which is fine. I mean, I have no problem, but I've noticed that too. That as far as like real, genuine Satanists who want to get out there and manifest, it's very few.
Yeah. In my own personal vision of the future, I see a very strong, active left hand path presence in our society, in our culture, in our politics, and economics, and art. You know, everything like that. Philosophy. And, you know, I see what some people have coined a natural hierarchy, which I firmly believe in. I don't think we should, determine that, like, oh, this guy is, the Minister of the Interior, and that guy is, the satanic, Minister of Education, or something like that. I think, the people that that are the most conscious and have the most gnosis, that are manifesting or creating the most and are the most productive and, innovative, those people will naturally rise to the top. And then people who are the best leaders as well. And I don't want to get in the way of that. I see a society where, those people are at the top, and then there are other people that are, kind of doing their own thing, and I guess, self-aware and manifesting maybe on a lesser level, that are kind of in the middle, like the middle class of the left-hand path, and then there are going to be people that, that just support us, and they go along for the ride, and they go with the flow, and that are just there, warming the bench, I guess. And you know what? That's okay, too. I'm not going to hate on those people. I love the fan base, the power base, the people who support us but have their own shit, their own lives going on, and don't really feel the need to, sharpen their will and, put their passions out, in the auditorium for everybody to see. And that's fine. And there could be different levels. I mean, we can have the left-hand path with all these different levels and dimensions. It doesn't have to be just the top of the top creative producers that are the left-hand path, and everybody else, just go suck on it.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the difference, is that it's a hierarchy that joins just together naturally based on people's expertise. Some people may have an expertise in, like, I don't know, organization structuring. One person may be, like, a good musician or something. I bring this example up. It's like, like the musician who has the band, or the band and the band manager. It's like the band is awesome, and they can create and they can manifest, but they can't manage their budget, and they can't, you know, they're not good at booking tours and coordinating, and then they get a manager in that, you know, specifically focuses on that. And it's like, you know, just natural things like that that aren't, but within the, you know, within the left-hand path, it's just like, it's an unconscious thing. It's just like people just kind of do their own thing, and then it kind of comes together. Whether, you know, whether they realize it or not, it just comes together and it happens. You know, it just happens.
Right, right.
And the other point I wanted to bring up too, is that I already see the current, you know, manifested within society, within reality, and like I definitely see a satanic current within like culture. But what I would like to see more of is, you know, attention to that, drawing attention to that, saying, hey, check this out. This is what the satanic current is, and it's already in place. And, you know,
exactly.
People are already exercising it. They just don't know it.
Yeah, and, yeah, to outsiders, people that don't know what the left-hand path is, I mean, there are people that are involved with and study religion and philosophy that have no idea what the left-hand path is or what it's about. You know, let's get out there and, you know, not only educate people, but let them know that we as a people, as a race, the left-hand path not only exists, but it's moving forward. And, you know, until we have some sort of collective identity, I don't think the mainstream world at large will be able to recognize, like, oh, that's, you know, clearly part of the left-hand path.
Okay, and I believe that's the end of the first clip. Venger, this is the particular show that resonated as being one of your favorites. Did I capture the part that that you were thinking of when we were discussing it?
No, but that's fine. I mean, it was still very good. I think it's from that show because the dates correlate up. The part I liked is when, I like that too, but when Jason King was really like breathing down my neck and he's like, you know, I'm coming from the exact like opposite direction, of Satanism in some regard. And I was like, well, okay. And then he kind of forced me to like defend myself and, you know, see or like relate Satanism from my perspective. And it was like a very cool and sort of brutal exchange. And, you know, it was very fiery and passionate on both sides. And I think we both stated a good case. And I think at one time people can see that he and I are both right, and maybe at different times and in different ways. Or maybe both of our ideas could combine and, like, come to some sort of compromised, renewed, rejuvenated understanding of Satanism or the left-hand path. So that, and I think that was more towards the end of the show. That was a very cool moment. I know a couple people after that commented and were like, oh, my God, that was, like, kind of amazing. So I guess that, you know, if people want to listen, you can always archive, or you can always listen to the archive shows anytime. So listen to the whole episode, and maybe see what I'm talking about, because that was really good. But hey, the clip that you played, that was cool too. And Dark Fool had a lot of great things to say. Hopefully, it wasn't too annoying listening to my voice. I don't know.
I thought it came pretty well. All right, and. Well, now the next clip that we're going to roll is what I personally think is the pinnacle of all of our shows. It has to be the most profound and at the same time the most hilarious point of any show. So I'm going to go ahead and roll this, and okay. It's about 4.5 minutes, and after that we're going to open up the phone lines for any of you wimps that want to call in. Chickens, I mean, yeah. Anyway, here it goes.
Okay, Mr. King. So give us your lowdown on objective reality.
Well, actually, I come from a school of thought that is, influenced by Immanuel Kant in the Western schools, but also heavy Eastern mysticism, in that I don't see a dichotomy, a hard dichotomy between the two. In fact, I think they're poles of the same phenomenon, meaning that you can't have perception without having both poles. You can't have, you know, just subjective or just objective. They both exist together by necessity. You can't have an object with no subject perceiving it, and you can't have a subject with nothing to perceive. So you need both. And they exist in a continuum together. So to try to isolate one and say this is objective, or isolate the other and say this is subjective, is to kind of miss the whole point, which is that they work together. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from anyway.
Okay. No, I like that. That works.
I think, honestly, I think we all inherently understand and agree with that. It's just when you're trying to, particularly examine one end of the spectrum, that's where you get tangled up and trying to figure out, at which point does it begin to kind of blend into the other end of the spectrum.
Well, I think that's where the work comes in too, with the idea of trying to limit the expression of negative emotion. When you're expressing negative emotion, you're affecting your subjective reality. You're affecting the immediate, your immediate perspective based on that negative emotion. Whereas if you stifle it basically, and then focus on the problem at hand, you're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue. So you're manipulating what needs to be manipulated in reality, which is closer to the objective rather than your anger or your frustration or what have you, which is further away from that objective.
Yeah, I like that. Interesting.
I wish I had some big, long-winded speech all practiced up today for you, gentlemen, but unfortunately, I'm somewhat bankrupt, so don't mind me.
It's like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's going to fucking slap their shit down first? It's one of those kind of deals, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Well, usually, in this kind of context, Beast and I, we kind of make way, so, other people's penises get, a chance to shine, whereas, Our dicks hog the spotlight a lot. So we're like, you know what?
I'm only laughing because I've heard little stories about... Never mind. Your prowess and shit, dude. But anyway.
Yeah.
You are the man. I guess there's a reason you're the fucking high priest, dude.
I guess. I was just watching the South Park episode just a couple nights ago. It was an old one, I think. And it was about the Japanese making these weird toys that kids had, this big fad over. I think this was a few years ago. And they made these toys, and when you squeaked it, it said something like, "Down with capitalist America!" And then when the toy store owners, went to Japan, and very realistically, and complained about the fact that, hey, this is, anti-American propaganda. And they were like, "Oh! We have such small penis, you have giant mammoth cock, therefore we are no threat to you." it's just funny.
Yeah.
Wasn't it George Carlin, too, who used to go on about how all wars, all conflicts on a global scale, it all comes down to who has the biggest dick? If you could just get the leaders of one country to meet with the leaders of the other country, just whip it out, and then, come out of the private room and go, "Yep, the Russians won. Today they won. Huge like that. That would take care of so much."
Yeah, I guess that would give new meaning to the concept of the people's champion.
Okay, now that clip is just hilarious in my opinion. It starts off we're talking seriously about objective and subjective reality, and I had no idea that King was going to go in the direction he was going. In the beginning of it, but I should have known because he starts talking about hard dichotomies and poles And then all of a sudden, the next thing I know, we're on the subject of big dicks. And
yeah.
I don't know. I just, to me, it was classic.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Pretty classic.
So the people's classic champion, that.
Yeah. Well, there is a reason I'm the high priest, and actually it doesn't have much to do with that, though. I mean, I do have
doesn't
some
have much to do with being a big dick.
Yeah, I mean, sure, there's the big dick too, but that's not, you know, that's not why I'm high priest. That's just in addition
right.
to everything else I have to offer.
All right. At this point in time now, Avenger, let's go ahead and open up the lines here. The number's 347-989-1371. And what we'd like to hear from you guys is, A, how you thought the past year went, and B, you know, if you think there's anything that we could do differently, or anybody in particular you'd like to see on the show over this next year, or if there's a particular episode or moment that you remember that you'd like to talk about. Now would be the time for Chicken Wings to pick up the phone and dial it.
Yep. Or if you have an opinion on the intro, you know, music that he's, you know, created because he did his new version. And we played it today for the first time. So if you like that, if you think that's a goddamn pile of shit, you should let Beastie know, like right now. I think it's cool, and he's going to be adding to it as we go. But yeah, we want your feedback, so feedback away, bitches.
And nope, even the mighty Jason King has dialed the phone.
Oh, wow.
He just said, fuck you, Zeno.
Oh, well. Well, in the meantime, you and I, at least, we can talk about stuff.
We got Doug Fool on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Hello?
Hey.
Doug Fool. You beat Jason King to the punch, man.
Yeah, it's called Cell Phones and Speed Dial and New Technology. You should look it up.
That's a
firm birthday. Happy birthday to the U's.
Yes. Yes. Year one.
I can't believe it. Damn, year one down.
As Adrian Mercado would say, year one.
That's right.
So, yeah, happy birthday to us. Fucking A.
Yep. Yep.
And hey.
How you guys feeling?
Good. You're part of the U's, my friend Dark Pool. You're like the crazy, you know, evil gesture uncle of the ooze.
Yeah.
So you're part of the process and part of the birthing, and you know some of your DNA is in that shit too. That's all I'm saying.
I know. I am honored. Thank you guys. It has been one hell of a ride and great memorable clips. You are planning on showing some more later, right?
Actually, that's all I decided to do. I figured we would get a chance to really talk about the direction this show's going to take.
Okay. Well, you know what? I there were so many fucking great clips from this show, man. I mean, like, all throughout the years. I mean, like, some of the most serious ones. Like, my personal favorite was the debate between Warlock Asylum and Jason King because, you know, honestly, that brought your show to, like, a different level, and it was just fucking amazing.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's actually, if you listen to the new intro, in there Jason King actually
yes.
says, yeah, yeah, for Cthulhu Fatag, and that's where I got that, huh? Out of.
Oh, okay. I didn't, it's, you know, sorry, I'm kind of, sometimes when I catch the show, I'm kind of in a half-sleep days. I didn't realize that was Jason.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah,
it comes by really fast.
Yeah.
It took me a while before I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, I recognize your voice. I thought the other was Jason. And then another big milestone that I believe came before Jason King versus Warlock Asylum was Xandora LeVay. And some of the clips for the new intro, especially in the beginning, are from Xandora LeVay. And so
yeah.
Yeah, where she says, you just popped Xandora's cherry.
That's right. Dude, that was, and that was, you know, that was another great memorable show right there. I mean, you know, I mean, okay, granted, there was some generational gaps, you know, it was a LeVay, like, that was, you know, down the line, but it was still great to hear her insight and, you know, her experience with the Church of Satan and, you know, find out what she's doing with the hula hooping and, you know, it was a, you know, great time. Great time.
Yeah. Yeah, she's got a big family, too. Well, that never hurts us.
Exactly, and you helped her exposure, too, with that.
Yeah, and, like, Venus Satanis and Nagashiva, I mean, they've got a bit of a following, so that's cool.
I know. Yeah, the last show.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, at some point we were thinking about having that Blackwood character on the show, but the date we set up originally, he was on vacation or something, so he kind of backed out. I haven't really talked to him much since then. I don't know if he's ever going to be on, but we are looking for new guests, so that would be cool to have new guests. I don't know. If anyone has suggestions, hit us up.
Awesome, man. Awesome. Yeah, but dude, I love, you know, where the show's going. And part of it is that I love the unpredictable element of it. You know, you guys could fit pretty much anything in there.
Yeah, that's true. We are fairly unpredictable, I guess.
I think we've finally gotten lucky 15 on the line at this point in time.
Oh, really quickly, I would also like to give a shout-out to Harley, because it's her birthday tomorrow. Happy birthday, Harley.
Happy birthday, Harley.
All right.
Thanks, Dr. Cool.
Sure.
So, yeah, do we have Jason on?
Yeah,
chicken wings.
I guess it's got to be lucky 87 at this point. I had to count, like, over a three-day period. What I got to do.
Oh, you can metabolize some of that.
If you don't sleep between the beers, I think it counts.
No, I sleep, but I'm still counting.
Still counting? Okay.
It makes my dick bigger, man. Come on, dude.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's half the reason we drink in the first place, right?
We got to have the biggest...
It makes think that your dick is bigger if she's just as drunk, so... Hey, pour it down her throat, whatever you can.
The first rule of beer goggling is that chicks don't beer goggle. Only guys do that.
Girls just get more successfully horny or something. Is that how it goes, or... I don't know. School me.
No, why don't you school me?
All right. Well, from my perspective, that's how it goes. Men beer goggle. Women, if they're attracted to you at all, they'll stay attracted, but their inhibitions go away and they get more horny and more touchy-feely and they care less about what society thinks about you fucking them, etc. And then, you know, they drink enough. It's late night and whatever, door's open, boom. You know, you crash through that door with your big dick and kudos.
Yeah, they drink enough, they throw up all over you.
Oh, that's hot, man.
That's like, that hot?
That's like some straight up
40-year-old virgin shit, dude.
Yeah. That's right up there with her taking a big shit on your chest.
Yeah, straight up two girls, one cup style, man. That's the best day ever.
Yep, that's the best ice cream sundae I've ever seen.
So, Jason, do you have a particular favorite episode?
Well, you know, pretty much all the ones I'm on. The one...
awesome.
No, seriously, the one
because
that I like the most...
I'm so amazing. I'm a bona fide cultural icon.
No, that's a different show.
Okay. All right.
That's a show that's done by a loser. But for some whatever reason, I every now and then go tickle his monkey or whatever the fuck it might be called. My favorite show, the one that I enjoyed participating in the most, would probably have been the one where it was basically the one that was clipped by Bizino.
The Objective Reality?
Where we had – I like when we have a lot of people together. Like right now we got four. And in that show, we had four.
Right.
People, and it was a good back and forth. It was a lot. It was a cool shit. I mean, the debate was kind of on a different level for me, just because, well, that was more homework and preparation and getting up a little bit earlier and drinking my coffee and getting ready for it and shit like that. I approached that differently. I didn't look at that as a show. That was different for me.
That was business being taken care of, huh?
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
So the one that I enjoyed the most was the one that it was where Ego Diabolus was on.
I agree. I Beast asked me that yesterday. Like, and I said, well, if I had to take a group of shows, like a small group of shows or a theme, I think my favorite all time of the whole year was a three-part series on Objective Reality. That's what I told him. So I completely agree with my honorable friend, Mr. King. I think that was fantastic, and we really delved into some shit that most play. I mean, you can't go to a Titanic forum and just whip up there and be like, all right, let's get a big, cool discussion of Objective Reality going here, guys, and then have it happen. That usually does not happen. So it's cool when people of the left-hand path can get together and talk about shit in a cool way.
I want to bring something up here too, which you guys, I mean, I don't think you guys get enough credit for bringing to the table, is that there are certain organizations, which I'm not going to name, you know, that I've heard about, that I've seen a little bit of, that, you know, you bring up these kind of discussions and they argue with you and the first thing they do is ban you and kick you out. You know, that you guys allow that arguing to go on and realize that it's part of a greater process.
Right.
Don't keep everything in a box.
That's true. We do that. And that does make us awesome.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry. Oh, I was just going to say, well, I've got you guys on the air. I really, really was looking forward to some either criticism or ideas of the new intro, what you thought of it.
The intro was great. I think. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jay.
Actually, I cannot cut you off on this regard. I'll get back to that in a second. Go ahead.
No, the intro was really good. I think, you know, it was good because it had elements of the original in there, you know, which people recognize. See, especially your longtime followers will recognize that intro and see how it's remixed and changed. So, you know, I really dug that. I really dug how you weave the old and the new together. And at the most appropriate time when you're going to talk about new directions and taking the news to another level and whatnot, I think it's very appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't actually want to hear what I have to say. What I have to say is that fucking my computer was having some reload problems at the time.
Okay.
And I didn't catch it. To be honest with you, I was on there, and I was on there at 12:59, and
cool.
I had some
reloads. There is a trick to that. You have to click on the show itself, and then, like, it'll go into...
No, I was on the show, but I wasn't logged in to fucking Blog Talk, so then I logged in, and then I had to re-fucking, like, click the fucking thing that says show, chat, and then it was loading... And I was still listening to the show, but at that point, I'd still missed the intro.
Okay. Would you like me to play it again for you real quick? It's only a minute.
No, what I'll do is I'll watch the fucking...
Why don't we play it again? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, play it again. I think that would be a good idea.
Then we can
Here goes.
Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're listening to you with your host, Avenger State Planner, and the Beast.
I'll just have my own.
There we go.
And that's it. Yeah.
Cool. So what Beast wants to do is add more people saying that whole yeah, Cthulhu Photogon, to create like this weird mosaic of like, or collage of like, you know, people over, maybe not necessarily like talking over each other, but like just, I don't know, like a sea of voices saying yeah, Cthulhu Photogon like over and over again, kind of. I think that's what you eventually want.
Yeah, that's definitely what I'm aiming for. Also, another element that I plan to do, like there's that clip where Zandora LaVey messes up saying it. That's actually going to kind of be a transitional piece. I'm going to take funnier moments from the shows and put it in there every couple of months in place of that particular spot. So
you know whose was my favorite was Nagasiva's, because he said it as if something had jumped out and scared him. It was great. He was like, yeah.
Yeah, hey, that's actually
What's up with this guy's voice where it sounds like he's underwater and he's got his mouth full of marbles? It's like, like in the background, that happens like a couple times. What is that?
That's cool.
That's actually clips from.
I'm just so curious about like where the hell did you get that?
That's the Baleful Wright, and I just ran it through a voice effects processor.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Crazy. All right, cool.
But it kind of added a kind of neat element to it.
Yeah, totally.
So, Jason, now you had some time to reflect. You know, commence tearing down?
What?
Commence tearing down?
No, I was, the question that I had lingering on my head was, who was the deer in the headlights? But I think Dark Fool answered that. That was Zandora LaVey, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying my favorite one was Naga, but she was definitely. The Beast answered that actually.
Oh, okay, sorry, lost track.
This was memorable, very memorable.
Oh yeah.
So. And she just sounds cute as hell, and of course she is. So that doesn't hurt. I mean, I wish you could see the ooze sometimes. Of course, if we did that, then we'd probably play just lesbian porn all the time. And I'm sure I'll take it ever. But, which, of course, would be awesome, too. Maybe in the future. Maybe later in the 21st century. We'll get to that.
All right. So to kind of move along with what I wanted to talk about not in this show, I was thinking, I mean, I've got some names on my list of people that I'd like to see on the show this year. One of them is it Margolin? Is that how it's pronounced?
Margolin?
Matt Pullen? Yeah. Is that right? JK, correct me if I'm wrong here.
I would say Fagolin or something like that. I'm not entirely sure how it's pronounced.
Fagolin? What?
I don't get it.
It goes by the
Margolin. That's how I would think it's pronounced. Without tongue in cheek.
For the record, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Synagogue.
He goes by the Mad Poet.
Mm. Okay.
Another person I'd like to have on here at some point is what the hell's his name now? Now I can't. Luciferian, come on. Ford.
Michael W. Ford.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
I'd also like to maybe in the future get Diane Vera on here. And, after that, I mean, I'm looking for people
you know, who would be interesting to have on this show. I mean, like, the Blackwood show would just be a joke in my eyes, but still, you know, maybe he'd surprise me.
Or maybe it would just be entertaining ripping on him. I don't know. I don't know too much about the guy, so I just heard things that, you know, kind of make me laugh, I guess.
You know, isn't it funny that Blackwood and another character that we know, the bona fide icon, is also from Michigan? I think there's something in the water, man.
Michigan, really? You got to talk about Mr. Heart-Shaped Box. Are you?
Yes, yes, I am.
Oh, really? I thought it was Heart-Shaped
Box. Fucking hilarious.
Well, I know you guys are trying to go out your way not to mention his name, so
yeah.
I don't want to do that. But
what if you set up a debate between who's got the biggest dig in Satanism, Paul Valentine or Tom Blackwood, and did that?
There you go.
And just had it be like a total sell. Like, we're going to be serious about this. We're going to give you a serious forum to be jokers and clowns and.
Yeah,
that kind of shit.
But
no,
see, they wouldn't go. Neither of them would go for it because one can't block the other one.
I don't necessarily know if you read that right as far as their personalities go. I don't know about Blackwood per se, but I think Paul Valentine would do it. Because
yeah.
I don't know if you remember that show, and you ripped it, actually, Dark Fool, in one of your videos, where it was Paul Valentine calling into a show where Margolin was debating Blackwood on an issue.
Was that Margolin, or was that Baphomet Rex? Or is
yeah,
that the same person?
Margolin. He's the same guy.
Oh.
It's the same guy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, I did catch that. Oh, okay. So
how
you're saying between
him? Have?
I thought you were saying between Blackwood and Heart-Shaped Box.
No, I was. But what I'm saying is that both of those people will call into a radio show if they're pressed to do so for various reasons.
Okay.
You just have to tickle the fucking, you know, armpit the right way, I guess, to get the laugh.
Yeah. We could do a show like that, I think. That would be doable.
It'd be totally tongue-in-cheek. It'd be almost like a... You have to do that on April Fool's Day or something, if it fell on a Saturday.
My day.
Some shit like that.
I'd like to also possibly get Bourne on here. I think he's got a lot of things to say and talk about.
Yeah, it'd be cool because, like, I'm looking at my watch right about now and I'm wondering where the fuck he is, man. And he's talking about, well, he's got a dipstick for a phone or something like that was what he was saying. I wanted him to be on. No, but...
Really quickly, if I may interject, gentlemen, one of the things that I like to contribute to Satanism is for people to remember the Cosmic Joy Buzzer.
Isn't that from Anton Wilson or something?
Yeah, Howard something, I don't know.
What
is that from?
Well, that's from LaVey, dude.
It is
That's right. I'm sorry. It's been a while.
Hey, Beast, do you have that buzzer? Do you have that buzzer sound?
No, actually, I don't.
Damn.
It got deleted off of our files. I'm not really sure how, but it got cleaned out.
Ah, that's all good.
It's still in my ears anyway.
Oh, that was probably one of my favorite parts of that debate is JK sounded like a deer in the fucking headlights when that buzzer went on. He's like, oh shit, this means I gotta shut up.
Yeah, I have a hard time doing that.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the chat room. That was one of my favorite parts where it was like, and if time will allow, and it doesn't.
Yeah, that was funny.
That was a good line, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have to understand the difficulty I had picking out clips, man. There are just so many of them. So what I actually thought about doing, and I figured I'd throw it out here on the show, I'm going to do a best of CD. For the ooze. When I want to go through and pick out like 18, you know, of the best 2 or 3 minute clips from every show that we've done over the past year. But I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need people making suggestions because, well, obviously I'm one person going back and reflecting on what I thought was a really good discussion versus, you know, if I had some feedback from other people, it might really help to isolate what really were the best moments of the show.
I think making a video and then having people comment on it, I think that's one of the best approaches for that. And people could give their input into what should be and why.
Yep. Good stuff. I mean, like I know Capricorn has listened to every episode of The Ooze. I know there are several people out there that have gone back and actually braved the trenches of the archives. So I'd really be interested to hear some feedback on that.
Yeah. Well, actually, I've listened to every show. And what I can say, just this is preliminary. This is not informed, like, by detailed analysis. But what I've noticed is that the shows that are focused on Jason King tend to be the better of the shows. Now,
yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that the king is the king, but... Hey, you know what I mean?
I disagree.
So
I think the ones centered on Warlock Asylum do the best.
That's like one episode, and what happened in that episode? He lost.
Yeah.
He lost a debate. But anyway,
losers that write history. All right, no, never mind. Go ahead.
Is it? Really? No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, but I think the king brings a lot to the table that I don't see that almost in hardly anybody else. No, I'm just kidding. What I like about The Ooze is that it's open. The hosts tend to compliment each other, but at the same time are very open toward the guests. I think the best shows are the ones that have other people on them. So anyone in which it's just Venger and Beast talking to each other should be disallowed for whatever fucking reason, and then focus on the other ones, the ones where I'm not saying that because you guys are the standard. You guys are the ones that are there every fucking week,
right?
So we already know what you guys sound like. But the ones like, for example, where you have like Nagasiva, that was busting his cherry in a way. I think. I mean, this is a guy that's been involved in Satanism for fucking 2 decades, and he finally comes out in some medium other than text. I mean, that was awesome to be able to do something like that. Xandora LeVay,
Very true.
You guys have the best success is when you take people and you break them into a new medium.
Right. Who else? God, I know there was the other people that we did that with. I mean, besides you guys. I mean, we have you guys on all the time. But there must be a couple other special guests. Yeah, I'm blanking.
There was Zach. I remember when Zach and I called in that one time. You know, it was pretty much breaking both of us into. Well, we weren't broken into BTR, but we were broken into the Ooze, and we got into a very serious discussion. Although it ended up, as Tim has hardcore criticized, it became the Darkful show. But but Zach, you know, Zach had a good time too.
Yeah.
We've had Puck, we've had Ego Diabolus, one point in time. We had Khorasan on here.
Allison Jones was on, like one episode or something. That's going way back.
Yeah, it was the Chariots of Gods, I think, was the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she was against that idea or something. I don't know. We've had a lot of guests. We'll have a lot more. But, yeah, I agree. The shows where we have other people calling in and talking with us, I think those are the best. And those are probably the ones we'll use for the CD, which, yeah, that's a great idea, Beast. Kudos.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it was something I've been toying around back and forth with. And actually, I'd love to get that together and have it ready within the next month, you know, so that people who want copies of it can download it, and if they so happen to want to get it on hard copy, you know, I'll make them a media available for that as well.
Cool.
You know, I think that would unfortunately cost them something, where the downloads be free, but if you're a fan of the Who's, it might be worth it.
Sure.
No, you can't allow it to be freely downloaded. You have to sell it.
You have to take that money, and
you have to go buy beer with that money. And then you have to make a YouTube video talking about how you have 7,000 paid members.
Yeah, don't forget to have the light hit you just right so you look like an Oompa Loompa.
The orange can says it all. People can also, if they want to show me any kind of appreciation or positive feedback, they can go out and buy the thing I'm looking at in the catalog right now, called Lesbian Brawbusters of the 80s, Volume 3. Because I already have Volumes 1 and 2, so I don't need that. That's put out by Alpha Blue Archives. If you, like, somehow email me, you can get my home address. I'm not going to give it out right now. But you can also Google it, probably online. Lesbian Brawbusters of the 70s, Volume 3, wouldn't be too bad either. There's also Busty Ladies in the 80s, Volume 4. I don't have that. Sweet, Sweet Busty, Volume 2. That looks pretty good. So now you know kind of where we're coming from.
Are you reading off your bookshelf, dude? That's almost kind of what it sounds like, man.
I've got this alphablueharchive.com catalog. Sadly, they're not paying me any royalty or advertising fee. But, that's what I do half the time when I'm on the show. And I'm just talking about whatever. I just look at porn. And so, yeah, I'm just reading stuff. I mean, I already have stuff like that on my shelf, so I could do that.
Speaking of which, does anybody out there have Nayland Palin? I got to get that one.
I do not. But, hey.
Damn.
You just go to porntube.com or whatever it is.
That is true.
Just watch it for free. I mean, this really is the best of all countries.
America, fuck yeah!
Okay. I believe that was Team America right there?
Yeah, it was.
That's funny. I didn't think anybody else had seen that movie besides me.
Really?
Oh,
my God.
You kidding? You gotta be kidding me. Come on, man. The creators of South Park? Really?
I just, every time I go to have a conversation with anybody about it, they're always like, what the hell are you talking about?
Oh, my, you gotta hit those people in the head.
Yes.
Like, the whole Durka thing.
Right.
With all respect to people here, I'm sorry, you know, the best speech I've ever heard was the pussy and dick speech in fucking Team America.
Yeah.
Yes, that was.
Yeah. Weird dick.
Most of them.
And then it just goes from there. No.
Pussies don't like dicks because pussies get fucked by dicks. But dicks also fuck assholes. Assholes who just want to shit all over everything. Pussies may think they can deal with assholes their way, but the only thing that can fuck an asshole is a dick with some balls.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
And there's a lot more. There's a lot more, but I'm not going to take up your airtime.
That's perfect. That's perfect, like, diplomacy between people and nations, and that's so awesome.
And peace just thrown out the fucking window.
Yeah. They should have, and hey, those dolls that, like, you know, the golden showers and the cheese.
Jesus Christ.
Awesome.
Yeah, the extended sex scene in that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. You got to have more of that. All right. More of that stuff in movies.
All right. Beast is trying to get us away from... Go ahead, Beast.
We've gone rogue, Beast. We've gone rogue.
That's the direction your show needs to go in.
We got about 5 minutes left. There's a couple of things that I wanted to cover. Next week, hopefully, and I haven't got a chance to talk to Zach about it, but hopefully he'll be the guest for the show next week. We want to do, Benger, you actually had a good title for it. What was it, When Egotism Fails?
When Egos Fail, but you can also do, like, When Egos Fly, like
when
ego
egos
being
fly.
Saved for eagle or something. I don't know.
Right.
Ooh.
We should do a video version of this, and then, like, we should, every week we should visit, like, a different porn set. Especially when it's like lesbian day, and then we could be like, hey, we're behind the scenes, and we're looking at this one girl getting fucked by this guy, and then these two girls getting it on.
I have a question for you. Would two lesbians getting it on, like covered in sushi, be just like it for you? I mean, is that your thing?
Oh, you mean with the tentacles?
Yeah, tentacles and sushi, and you know.
See, I was talking about this just the other day, that I love tentacles, and I wouldn't mind them being included in sex, just like I wouldn't mind bacon and sex being included with each other, because I love bacon, just like I love tentacles, but I don't get, like, a hard-on from, like, thinking about tentacles, so it's not really a sexual fetish in that way. I just
even
like
henty?
A lot.
Even, like, tentacle porn henty?
It's cool, but... You know, when I'm trying to get off or something, I don't, like, look for that or watch that, you know. I just think it's cool aesthetically.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. But if you have, like, some girl with big breasts, like, in a cheerleading uniform, like, that's awesome. I would totally get off on that.
With tentacles, right?
With tentacles.
Well, the tentacles would just make it cooler. It wouldn't make it sexier. See, there's a difference. In a way, the tentacles would distract me because I'd be like, oh, that's cool. I'd be using, like, the other part of my brain that's not programmed to, like, I don't know, come all over it.
Your deadpan is awesome, dude. I love the deadpan.
Oh, because I'm being totally
awesome.
Serious right now.
Yeah,
hopefully
that's
coming across.
Because
it's
awesome.
I bet all that
would change if she wanted you to come on her tentacles.
Who, what?
No, he likes shit on the chest.
Oh, my bad.
Not come on the tentacles. It's got to be shit on the chest.
Yeah,
she
got
one couple of tentacles.
I'm fucking with
you. I want one girl to, like, shit on the chest of, like, a different girl. Or maybe in her face.
How did this
I
turn into,
shit
like,
on,
a shitty
okay?
porn set?
Let's get this right here and now. If we learn nothing else from the one-year anniversary of you is, I don't want to be shit on. I just want to watch girls cheating on each other.
If we learned one thing, we've learned it, dude.
Yeah. We have now made a productive show.
How do you take memorable clips from, you know, the show that's running right now and put it back on just to say, remember what happened a minute ago?
Yeah, that would be good because we've kind of lost the mission here. But we found a new mission, which is all about
the new direction for the show.
Like, scatological, like, porno and lesbians and Derek's fantasy.
The last 10 minutes, as cool as it was, shouldn't be your selling point, dude.
Okay.
Don't make this your fucking, your featured clip.
Allow me to respectfully disagree with Mr. King.
Mr. Ford, would you like to be on our show and discuss Luciferian witchcraft while some girl is shitting on some other girl's chest? That'd be fucking hilarious, man.
Hey, dude, I'm sold right there. When do I tune in?
Yep.
Damn.
Yeah, NBC, please make me a $1 million offer along with Beast, and I'll get you guys, like, signed on as producers. So let's make this shit happen. Let's make the left-hand path a reality in a good way. That's all I have to say.
There you go.
And perfect timing. We've got about... probably 45 seconds left, man. So I really want to appreciate everyone, not appreciate, but I really want to say thank you to everybody that has shown us support and come out and listened to our shows and participated on here. We've had some awesome guests. Venger, you've been a great co-host, man. I really, I'm glad that you got me doing this show. With that being said, anything you want to say,
Beef?
Yeah, Cthulhu for talking.
There you go.
All right. We'll catch everybody next week.
Next week. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Edits. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily reflect those held by Venture of Peace or any institution associated with us. The Edits does not condone any illegal or unethical acts. If you have been offended during the production of the show, we're sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Thank you, and see you next week.